Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We're going to continue on. Actually, this probably will be our final part on the series of religious freedom, being part number three. And we want to talk about some of those things that we referred to in the last podcast toward the end about some of these questions about why it appears as if the devil has authority over people on the earth, and why it also shows us that we have authority ourselves as Christians over the devil. So we're going to talk about that, because the fact is, how can a person enter into a position of faith, you know, a place of faith to believe God for something if they don't have understanding of the word on what, you know, they're entitled to? Because where there is that doubt, that question mark in their mind, they're not going to be able to proceed in faith, at least not on a consistent basis. And so, with that being said, you know, as my custom is, I always like to bring in my wife into the podcast here, because even though she says this is my podcast, I say, no, it's really our podcast. You know, she wants me to do the leading on this. And but I always like that for her to contribute and add, you know, things that God gives her, because she really, you know, I might say you might add some spice and flavor, you know, like seasoning would to food, to enrich it and make it much better. So I like for her to be able to do that freely as God, you know, leads her to do so. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce her. If for those of you who may not know who she is, this is my wife, Norca Karina, and she is my treasure from heaven.
Amen. Thank you, amor. That was so beautiful. And I thank God for your life as well. God is so good. God is so good. And I thank God for this beautiful word that already has been shared, part one, part two, religious freedom. And we do encourage the listeners, if you have not, to listen to part one and two. You know, God, when he offered us salvation, it was the whole package, right? The whole package. He did not just offer us salvation in one area and then leave us victims to what the enemy wanted to do with us and to us. So it is so good to know that God not only loves you, not only loves me, but he has a plan, he has a strategy, and he has given us the necessary weapons so that we can walk on this earth victoriously. He paid a very high price for our victory, so we might as well learn how to obtain it, how to use it, how to enjoy it for the benefit, our own benefit, for the glory of the Lord, and definitely also for the expansion of the kingdom.
Amen, sweetheart. That's a beautiful, because that is what it's about. It's about bringing the good news, because the gospel is the good news.
That's right.
To people who need to receive it, because Jesus is the only way. As he even says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And even we're told this in Acts chapter, I believe it's chapter 2, verse 38, which I'm going to just read that real quickly, because some people might say, you know, I'm not sure about all this, you know, religious business, you know, I think it's just, you know, I'm you know, going to advocate for those who may be on the fence about whether or not they believe the truth about Christianity, about Jesus Christ, and thinking that we all should just be like, well, you know, it's up to everyone to believe what they want to believe, and we should all just live in peace and harmony together. And I agree with that. We should live in peace and harmony together, you know. But what they're, some of them are actually saying is, just let everyone alone and let them believe what they want to believe. But yet we can't do that. I mean, yes. Now let me clarify. Yes, we're not going to force our belief on people. We're not here to force our belief on people.
That's
but
right.
To give them the opportunity to believe by hearing the word, and let them choose for themselves.
Exactly, yes.
Because this is what freedom of religion is about, is the freedom to choose one's religion. So if they don't want to accept Jesus Christ, they don't have to. If they don't want to accept the Christian faith, they don't have to. But there's many countries in the world today that's restricting their people of their nations from being able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, because they make it illegal for them to hear it, for them to be given Bibles to read for themselves what the Bible says, or to hear it from a preacher. They make it illegal. So this is what we're actually fighting against, we're coming against, is that freedom. And we're told this in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we can go over here to Luke, because he's made it clear that it's through Jesus that, you know, it's remission of sins. Repent that we may receive forgiveness for the remission of sins. And if somebody says, well, that's Peter talking, well, let's hear what Jesus had to say about it. Even in Islam, you know, they believe that Jesus is a prophet. Okay, so then my question to those who say that they believe that Jesus is a prophet, then do they believe that Jesus' words were accurate? Because how do you say that he is a prophet and not conclude that the words he spoke were from God? Because if he didn't speak from God, then he would be labeled as a false prophet. But they say, no, he is a prophet from God. Even though they believe Muhammad was the last and the greatest prophet, they still believe Jesus was a prophet. But if Jesus is a prophet, then you have to conclude what he said was the truth.
That's true.
So then here's the issue. He says some things that contradict some things that Muhammad said. Mm-hmm. And so we see this in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, toward the end of the chapter. This is after his resurrection from the dead. He says here, and I'm going to back up here to give the whole story here. It said in verse 34, when they came back after some had seen him, they said, the Lord indeed is risen and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. You know, he manifested himself to them. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. Well, see, this is evidence right here that Jesus rose from the dead, and now he's appearing to them.
Amen.
And he said to them, why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. Now, what are we talking about here? The scars and the wounds that he had from the cross.
Right.
He had holes in his hands and holes in his feet, you know, where the scars were from that crucifixion. But now has arisen from the dead, and he's alive, and they can handle him and touch him. So Amen. It's not just a spirit, a ghost.
That's right.
And so he said, you know, it says here, and when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe, for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So see, they're in still a little bit of disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, listen to this. Here's where it gets really interesting. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen.
Amen.
See, there is so much here that contradicts some of these other religions, especially Islam. Islam teaches that Jesus did not die and rise from the dead. They say it was made to appear to be so, that he was on the cross, but then he was taken off the cross by God and replaced with someone else.
That's amazing.
And then he was disguised so that the people believed that it was him. But here's the thing. Who's the one saying this? This was supposed to be a revelation given to Muhammad, right? Well, was he there to witness these things? This was 600 years after Christ. And he's going to have the truth versus the original apostles who was there as witnesses, because Jesus said, you are witnesses of these things. They were witnesses of his crucifixion, of his death, and his resurrection. They were witnesses of these things. And yet, the whole premise of the point of the crucifixion was that Jesus died for the sins of the world. Correct?
That's right.
Right? And Jesus says here, these are the words which I spoke to you. This is verse 44. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. In verse 46, thus it was written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Where? To the Jewish people? No, to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So salvation message that you can only be saved through Jesus Christ is being clarified right here by Jesus himself.
Yes, it is.
These are the words in red. These are his words. Mm-hmm. And so if we're going to say he's a prophet, then do you believe what he had to say? Because how can you call him a prophet and not believe what he had to say?
That's true.
Because a false prophet speaks falsely. Right? And at the same time here in Islam, even in the Quran, it says that they were to believe in the Gospels, the Prophets, and the Psalms. Well, it says that they're to believe in what was written about him. Now they said, well, we don't believe in the New Testament. We don't believe, especially in the writings of Paul. But let's just take Paul out of the equation right now. Because they say, well, Paul made Jesus into something he wasn't. You know, that he deified Jesus and made him into God. Okay, well, we do believe that he's the Son of God and he's equal to the Father. But apart from that, let's just put that on the back burner for right now. Let's just go with what has already been said, that the Quran says, that they believe in the prophets, they believe in the law, the Torah, and they're to believe in the prophets. And Jesus was a prophet, correct?
That's correct.
And Paul and Jesus says right here that what was being filled was written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and Psalms concerning me. This is the very thing that the Quran says they're supposed to believe. So then if they're to believe that, then you have to believe what it says about him.
We can't pick and choose whatever we want or find convenient or relevant to our desires, right?
Correct.
Have to believe everything Jesus said.
So this ain't a podcast to, you know, attack Islam.
Of course.
But
not.
This is a podcast to bring clarification to who Jesus was and who Jesus is and what he came to do, and the fact that this subject being religious freedom is the freedom to be able to hear this and to be able to believe it if one chooses to believe it.
That's right.
Because that's something that's not afforded to people in Saudi Arabia. It's not afforded them as much as the United Arab Emirates at this present time is very westernized as a Muslim nation, probably the most westernized Muslim nation in the world. Because if you go to the malls, they got shopping malls just like they do here in the United States. And if you go there, you'll see girls, young women, wearing jeans and T-shirts and dressed just like any of the young women here in the United States. Maybe not quite as expressive, you know, in some ways, but still westernized dress and all that. But yet, as far as the religious beliefs, You're not allowed to convert a Muslim. You're not allowed to witness to them and tell them about Jesus and give them a Bible. They may allow Christianity to exist, but you got to keep it to yourself in your little corner. If you've got a Christian church over there, that's your community as a Christian. You're not allowed to evangelize and talk to Muslims about Jesus and convert them, as one might say. Well, according to Article 18 of the Human Rights Charter under the United Nations, the Article 18 is about religious freedom. And that states that everyone has the right to practice their religion, their belief, and also to be able to spread it to other people if they want to. We're not talking about forcing religion on anybody.
But sharing it.
But sharing it and giving them the opportunity.
Right.
Well, those same Muslim countries like Saudi Arabia, who is supposed to be our ally in the Middle East, you know, ally with the United States, is one nation that does not practice this, even though most all these nations have signed their agreement to the United Nations Human Rights Charter. But they don't practice it because have they allowed a Christian church to exist, to be built? No. Do they allow you to hand out Bibles to Muslims in their country? No. Do they allow you to talk to people about Jesus? No. Because they don't want any of their people being converted. But yet they take advantage of the freedoms we have in the United States, and they come here and they preach Islam and they build mosques. And there's thousands upon thousands of mosques across the United States. They're everywhere. Because religious freedom to us is your freedom to practice religion as you believe. As long as it doesn't, you know, hurt anyone else.
Right.
You know, because obviously, you know, when it comes to terrorism right. and that extremism, yeah, that's not going to be allowed.
That's
But the point is, religious freedom is something human right, is a human right given by God. Why do I say that? Even though he holds us accountable and responsible to believe and accept Jesus Christ in order to be saved, he gives us the freedom to choose.
Wow, that's right.
What we want to believe. That's a freedom that God has given humanity.
That's right.
It's not for another person or a government to decide on what we can hear and what we can't hear,
right,
what we can
right.
believe and not believe.
Right.
Like I said again, when it comes to, you know, hurting or harming someone else and taking the life of another individual, we're against that, obviously.
Yes, of course.
Right? And even some of them are as well. Many of other religions are against that as well. But to be able to practice your religion, be able to spread it and share it with other people, to be able to share what I'm even talking about here in this podcast, these very scriptures, is not allowed in many of these Muslim countries,
you know,
or communist nations.
Yeah, and I was just going to add that you've said it so clearly, even on the first part, also repeated on the second part of religious freedom, and it's that there's no other way to salvation. There's no other way to be saved. There's no other way to be free. There is no other way to have eternal life except through Jesus. And that's pretty much what it comes down to. And of course, everybody has the right to choose, not only because we're saying it, it's not our opinion. That's how God stated it, because in John 3:16, he said it, right? He presented the plan. He told us why, and he said it. He said, and for God so loved the world, what did he do? He would love the world that he gave his son. But then he does something amazing. He said, so that whoever believes, it's not an obligation. It's not, you know, if you don't, of course, we know that there are eternal consequences, but that's a right that everybody has, right, to choose. Now, the beauty of this topic, Amod, is that there is such an urgency, because if Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and there are people that do not find out, that cannot hear this, there are people that are not allowed to know about the only salvation way, there is no way they're going to be saved. You know, just to put it on maybe more practical terms in our natural walk here, let's say that a group of people or a company discovered, or a country discovered, the cure to cancer, it would be murder. I'm going to say it would be so horrible to hold that medicine away from other countries or from a certain group of people. And imagine the president, the king of that country saying, nope, we do not want the cure of cancer in this country. It is not allowed. It is not allowed. We're not going to accept it. No, we're not even going to let people know that there is a cure to cancer. As a matter of fact, we're not even going to let them know what cancer is. So there's nobody in my country is going to know what cancer is. Kind of like with our the truth. No, we don't even want you to know that you're a sinner. We don't even want you to know that there is eternal death. We don't even want you to know that there is a kingdom of darkness. No. So when we think about it that way, it's cruel. It is cruelty that we would have the cure to cancer and other countries would say, nope, we do not want that cure in our country. And hundreds and millions are dying every day of cancer. That's cruel, right? So now imagine taking it up a notch, because at the end of the day, our eternal life is forever. Now imagine knowing that there are people that are dying every day without Jesus. That means that they're going to spend their eternity in hell. People don't like that word, but that is a real place. Imagine a country saying, nope, the leaders of that country, we do not want our people to find out that there is a way to not go to hell. There is a way to live eternally in heaven. That's cruelty, and that is not God's will. But that is why the Lord presses in your heart to share this, and we pray that as our listeners are listening to this, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, speaks to them as well, and that they too will be instruments to share the gospel in one way or another as the Lord leads them to those people who need to hear the truth. And that pretty much means everybody.
That's so true, sweetheart. You really hit the nail on the head, because the crux of this message and purpose is so that people can receive Jesus Christ and be saved. Because we want everyone to go to heaven.
That's right.
We don't want anybody to go to hell.
That's right.
And yet, Satan knows clearly that Jesus is the way, the only way, the only truth that there is. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want people to go to heaven. He wants them to go to hell, because that's where he's going, the lake of fire. And yet, he is able, has been able, to deceive many people through the earth and even governments about what is the right way. You know, and some of them will be, you know, saying, well, I'm not against, you know, your faith. I just believe you're wrong. And our way, our belief, our religion is the right way. But yet, religious freedom is the ability, you know, given the right to be able to choose for yourself. And these nations have signed their agreement to this, to the human rights, United Nations Human Rights Charter. And even specifically Article 18, which I have here right now. I'm going to quote it verbatim, which says, Article 18 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights of the United Nations. Get that. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights from the United Nations. That Article 18, that everyone has the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. This right includes freedom to change his religion or belief, and freedom either alone or in community with others, and in public or private, to manifest his religion or belief in teaching, practice, worship, and observance. That sounds pretty clear.
That's right.
That they have a right to change their religion or belief, and freedom alone or in community with others, or in public or private, to manifest his religion or belief in teachings, practice, worship, and observance. And that includes evangelism, because the teaching of Christianity is to evangelize. And it's really the same for practically for most all the other religions. Some would say, well, we don't necessarily feel the need to evangelize, but Islam does. Islam believes they need to spread their truth.
Mm-hmm.
and many other religions likewise. So this is something that these nations have agreed to that they're not upholding, because then they'll just do the very opposite and say, we make it a capital crime to convert anyone from Islam or communism to Christianity. You know, we watched a video last night about China and the church, underground church there. And China has persecuted Christians for decades, right? But yet they have not made Christianity itself illegal completely. They just want to control it. But yet if you go across the border to North Korea, they've made it illegal completely. There's not allowed any kind of Christianity whatsoever. Not allowed to have Bibles or anyone to speak about Jesus and teach other people about it. Or because you need a Bible. You know, yes, we got the word in our heart that we've learned and we've grown in, but yet for them to be able to read it for themselves and see what just what I read in Luke chapter 24 or what I read in Acts 2:38, that's not allowed. It's illegal. But yet they supposedly agreed to the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights that everyone has a right to change their religion if they want to. No, it's the devil's afraid of them believing the truth, because right. Once you have the truth and you know the truth, then you're in a position where you have authority over the devil. And I'm not talking about over other human beings. You know, again, I want to clarify, we're not talking about spreading Christianity to the point where we force people to be Christians if they don't want to be.
No, that's right.
We don't believe in that.
No.
It's giving them the right, the freedom to choose if they want to, by allowing them to be able to hear about it.
At least hear about it.
Right. So that's what we're talking about. And we agree with other religions being able to be spread. If we're going to believe, you know, that we want the freedom to do it, then we give them the freedom to do it also. Mm-hmm. So we can talk to them about what we believe about these other religions, as well as they can talk about what they believe about Christianity.
That's correct.
So this is what we're talking about spreading, and this is important. And I thought this was going to be our last part, but I can see clearly it's not, because I do want to talk about those things that I mentioned at the beginning of this particular part, was those things about why it, you know, some scriptures appear as if the devil has authority over us, and other parts where it says that he doesn't. Well, I kind of gave a brief introduction to that about a dispensation of time, that in that dispensation of time now we have authority as Christian believers. But it only is good as the knowledge that you have concerning it and your submission to the Lord Jesus Christ under his authority to be able to execute that authority. Because how can you invoke something that doesn't belong to you? You know, you don't have a right to walk in, you know, any business and say, hey, I want to submit a request for some health benefits.
If you don't work there.
If you don't work there, because if they didn't employ you, then you didn't get health and benefits through them. So they're gonna, you know, if you fool them, they think you work there. They say, well, what is your employee ID? And you say, well, I don't have one. What do you mean you don't have one? You don't work here? Then they're going to say, well, you're not entitled. Let's show you the door. You know, it's the same way with the Christian faith. It is a covenant through Jesus Christ, through the blood he shed on the cross. And that covenant comes with benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those benefits is he redeems your life from destruction.
Amen.
That means Satan have no right to try to kill you. Not only did he save you from car accidents and plane crashes and shark attacks and everything else that can go harm, mudslides and earthquakes and tornadoes. You have a right to be protected from all those things in the covenant. But even there's a lot of people that are in the covenant, but they don't know their benefits. Or if they've heard about them, they don't know how to exercise faith for them. So those are things we've talked about before, and we'll talk about again later in some other podcasts. But right now, we want to focus on religious freedom, because religious freedom is something that God has given humanity, and it has nothing to do with man being able to exercise authority over others to say, well, you can't believe this, you can't believe that. Now, if it comes down, like again, we said, something that's going to harm others, like somebody says their religion is that we're going to kill other people if they don't believe it. No, that's not what Christianity teaches.
That's right.
So we're not going to accept that. Right. So having said that, I'm going to close out this particular podcast, and we'll pick up in part number 4, and maybe that'll be our final part. I don't know. Maybe I should just quit saying this will be our final one.
Because only God knows.
Only God knows. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to my sweet, beautiful, wonderful, amazing wife, who has this anointing and gifting to really, give that invitation for people to receive Jesus if they're ready to receive him. And such a beautiful gift that she has. And I know when she gets to heaven, she's going to have a huge crown of life, the crown of life,
God.
The soul winner's crown.
Praise God. Praise God. And it's all about the Holy Spirit and just the love. You know, as I was, you mentioned that video that we watched, and there was another one also that we watched with Ray Comfort, and he's truly so admirable, worthy of imitation, because he just has this passion for winning souls. And this one interview he had with, this encounter with that one girl, and he asked her, when after they went through the Ten Commandments, and he asked her, are you concerned about going to hell? And it's amazing, the answer. She said no. She said no, she wasn't concerned. And that, and I pray, and we pray that the Lord will take the blinders off, will take the dullness, will revive the hearts from death to life, so that that indifference, that sense of I don't care, which is not true, is taken away and canceled in the name of Jesus Christ, and that the hearts are drawn to the Lord. Because how can you not care where you are going to spend your eternal life, where you are going to be forever and ever and ever and ever? And it's not like, oh, do you want Burger King or McDonald's? Those aren't the choices. It's heaven or hell. It's with God or separated from him forever. And I love his answer, because he said, well, if you don't care, I care. I love you enough not to want you to be in hell. And that's the invitation to the listeners. If you have never given your heart to Jesus, we don't know your name, we don't know who you are, but I can promise you that God knows who you are, because he made you. He made you, and he cares. It is not his will or his desire for you to spend eternity without him, away from him. So he made a way so that you can spend eternity with him. But that way is called Jesus. So that's the invitation today. Give your heart to Jesus. We are all born sinners, separated from the Lord. And Jesus died on the cross to give you eternal life. He wants to do this exchange with you. You give him your life. You give him your sins. You give him your heart. And in exchange, wow, he gives you his life, his power, his justice, and you will then be adopted into the family of God and have eternal life. What an amazing, amazing gift. And we believe and trust that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, wherever you are right now. It could be in the hospital bed, it could be in prison, it could be under a bridge, driving, wherever you are. This message is for you today, to do something about it now. Because you have been given the right, the privilege to hear this message, and you now have a choice to make: life or death, life with Jesus or death without him. I trust you are going to choose life.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're going to conclude this podcast, and we'll pick it up the next time. And we want to thank everyone for listening. God bless, and we'll talk to you later.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.